Welcome, friends, to the Soul Talk podcast, a show where we explore and uncover the path to the heart, amplifying your conscience. Join me as we meet incredible souls who are in this journey and learn from their experience and different methods that will make you vibrate your heart. Let's get into it. Hello, everyone. This is Monica Ramirez, the Warrior of Love, and thank you for being in Soul Talk. And not only in Soul Talk, today we are in Porapelusa, and we have an amazing person that is so necessary right now in these times, and more with the pressure of the world where it's going, people get into more addictions. And Adrienne Tichy.
It's Tichy, like sticky.
Okay. It is a recovery advocate. She works with families impacted by the addiction and working together, correct?
Mm-hmm. As they heal together. Yes, we're a family first operation.
This is so, so important because right now where the pressure with economy and so forth, the people get more into addictions.
It's actually in the last 5 years, we have seen addiction, overdose, suicide, all of these things, domestic violence increase by about 40%. So people that you used to think of as being addicted, the hobo in the street or the bum on the corner, that's not who we're dealing with now.
Yes.
We're dealing with everyday people that are getting addicted to not just substances anymore, but behaviors.
Yes.
They can't get off of video games. They can't get off of their phone. They eat too much. They gamble too much. They drink too much. It's all about trying to escape, right?
Yes, I have seen it with many friends that I did not even know that they were into addictions of gambling.
Yeah.
Online. And I was like, really, you were into that? It's like, yes, I just came out from that. Because they don't speak. They don't say, I have a problem.
That's right.
And so this is becoming more a norm.
Yeah, it is. It is. We are full with a waiting list almost all the time. We deal with, the hardest of the hard cases. The other people won't take them. People with dual diagnosis, so they have addictions, but they also have mental health issues now that they're trying to help their mental health reactions by drinking or taking drugs.
And most of the families, they don't realize they're having a problem in one of the members.
No, they don't realize. It's very much can come up on somebody quick. And when addiction comes knocking at your door, we all have heard the stories on the news now, right, about the fentanyl and it's coming across the border, how dangerous it is. But they don't tell you what to do.
Yes.
They just tell you about the problem. We help with the solution.
And more with the families, we tend to shun out the alcoholic or the drug addict because, yes, the gambler is going to hide it more.
Mm-hmm.
Themselves, they don't realize they have a problem until it's already too late.
Right.
The one that is an addiction from alcohol, drugs, it is annoying or is noisy, whatever. Those are easy to spot.
Right. And it's the more subtle ones that are now the problem, the ones that come from out of nowhere. And you don't see that there's a problem until it's too late. And now it's a crisis for your family.
Yes.
And most people don't know how to deal with the crises in their family.
That is so true. That is so true. And how as family, you can support someone that it is harming your family and yourself because only of the addictions. How do you can support in a way, because many of them, they are not going to admit they need help.
Yeah.
I know one of the 12 steps, the first step is admitting you have a problem.
Admitting you have a problem. And we also like to say the ABCs of recovery. It doesn't matter if it's addiction. That's my husband's case. We met in church. I have a physical illness that I'm disabled. I have an invisible disability. I have a chronic illness called pancreatitis that I got from a divided pancreas at birth and a co-ed softball fall at 23. Those just created a perfect storm. And I ended up with 5 life-saving operations, 2 comas, paddled back to life, and I was in hospice at the end of 2008 for 3 months. So it's been a crazy medical journey, but I say all that to say I noticed somewhere along the way that it was the same. My husband was treating his progressive and fatal illness, if not arrested, in the same way I was treating my physical illness that was progressive and fatal, if not arrested. You know, like I said, we accepted our situation and prioritized action. That's the A. We're B. We were brave enough to start over and over and over again until we got it right. And C, create a stellar support system, because when things happen that are difficult, your friends leave.
Yeah. Or you have the wrong friends.
Or you have the wrong friends, right? And you have to start over and over and over so many times. You know, you have to keep hope alive to keep starting over that many times.
It's one of the things that I see with people that have the addictions of alcohol, or maybe even it might be even gambling or drugs. They tend to look for those kind of friends, and they don't want to. As a family, you can tell them, okay, do not bring your friends or stay away from your friends. But they're not going to listen.
They're not going to listen. So no, we've noticed that it's an inside job. Recovery is an inside job. Nobody, we like to say that we're in the make it available business. We can show you all of the tools, the resources, the coping mechanisms, but we can't stay with you 24/7 and make you go right instead of left. We can only give you the road signs.
Yes. What are the road signs? How do you notice one of your members or your family is
having change in behavior is number one. They start doing something that just, I'll give you an example. We have somebody that does our website and our books, QuickBooks, for us. And something was different a week ago when he sent an invoice for some work that he had done on the website that was always included in what we pay him monthly. But he sent us an invoice for it. And 2 weeks later, we found out he relapsed. So see, he was doing something that was out of character because he needed money. So we went, you know, just that thing that makes you go, hang on to that, because here's 2 weeks later, we found out, in fact, he was doing something different because he was in trouble. He needed the money.
But that's, we're talking about, those are addictions. It can be alcohol, drugs, or gambling. Those cost money, but the ones that then do not cost money, but it's attitude.
Addictions. Oh, yes.
That they don't cost money, but they can.
They're very expensive to get rid of, right? They don't cost any money at first, but it ends up being a very expensive habit. Yes.
Yes, or
and affects everybody in the family, right? It's. Some people react to it by denial, and denial can be thought of as don't even notice I'm lying.
Yes.
Don't even notice I'm lying is denial, D-E-N-I-A-L. And, a lot of that happens with our clients is, they started using or drinking pretty early. And it progressed into other things. And so we, like I said, we get them when they're not their first or second time around in treatment, but they've been to many treatment centers, many recovery residences with no luck, nobody helping them.
That was my question. How do you force one of your members of your family to go to seek help when they're not in denial?
Yeah,
they have a problem.
It's not always successful, because you do. That's one of the main things to getting better is acknowledging that you have a problem. Now, that being said, not everybody shows up at our door with smiles and grins on. They're not liking that they're in a group home situation, and living in a group home is not like living in your own home. Mm-hmm. You know, you're living with 5 other men, in a single family house, 3 bedrooms, 2 baths. You share, you do chores together. You function like a little family because we are re-educating people on how to be in the world without needing an escape.
So someone that I know close by, a friend of mine, they have a son that they do not want to, they are completely in denial.
Yeah.
That they have a problem. And the problem is that they need the drugs and they need alcohol every day. Mm-hmm. That's what
every
it
day.
Is, an addiction.
Yeah.
And when they came to me to ask me for help, is the other person is completely in denial they have a problem. So how you can force them or convince
Yeah, you can't force them. Anyone, right? And sometimes addiction does not look like a straight line. In fact, it rarely looks like a straight line.
Yes.
My husband's case, he got sober 23 and almost 24 years ago. He'll be 24 years sober on January the 14th. I met him when he was only 6 years sober. Very different person, very different man. Because the alcohol, the drugs, they're just a symptom of a bigger problem underneath, right?
Yes.
And if in their heart of hearts, the mothers particularly, even if they're in denial, part of them knows that their child is in trouble and is so scared that they're not going to come back.
Yes. And when they're, let's say they're under 18, it's easier to convince them that you're going over there, that you want to live in this group or whatever it is.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
But over 30, it is very hard
actually
to convince them to you need to go to therapy. You need any kind of help.
Any kind of help, whatever kind of help, you know, that's what we want to be known as the air traffic controllers of recovery. So you can call me even if you don't use our services, we can help people get to the right people.
Yes. And so the first way that you can notice that someone is having any troubles, it is the change in behavior.
The change in behavior, you start possibly catching them in lies, mm-hmm. or sneaky behavior. Mm-hmm. The you might notice that your checkbook is a little lighter. You have money missing. You know, and nobody wants to think to themselves, oh, this is my son, my daughter, my nephew, my brother stealing from me. It usually has to get very bad before the families reach out for help. I think that's why the work that we do is so important, is because the families don't know what to do and they don't know who to trust. We get them through treatment centers. And so they've been at the treatment center for usually like 30 days. And then they're introduced to us and we really help them from their old life to their new. Yes, so we can help them spot those warning signs. We can help them then through early recovery to know what to say and what not to say, especially as family members are coming home for the holidays where there will be alcohol around, right? Mm-hmm. And even without alcohol in a family, it doesn't take a lot to have a complicated family.
That is true. And how the family can handle that when they are at home?
Because they need support. You know, they need a support group for help, because it's not something you can just go to the nail salon and say to the person next to you, yeah, well, my son's smoking crack again and he's in his fourth treatment center. Mm-hmm. The person will look at you like, who is this crazy person next to me?
Or they judge you as a bad parent.
Or they judge you, right? You spoke about that earlier.
Yes.
Exactly. You know, and how you know how much strength it takes to come to a new place and learn the language. And like you said, you wrote your book in English. And our experience with people in recovery is they are missing some of that prefrontal cortex that has the executive center functions, like, you know, how to prioritize your own life, how to do a budget. You know, we get them back into getting a job and building a life that they can be happy and proud of, and really walk through that journey with them, because it doesn't take 28 days is not enough time for people to heal from addiction. It's usually years.
Yes, I have seen that with many people comes out of rehab.
Yep.
And maybe sometimes in the same week they go back.
In the same week they go back. And then they just, it's like a merry-go-round that you get caught up in. You can see our oldest resident was actually 82. So he had been caught up in addiction until 82 years old and decided to go to treatment. And he was just the nicest man. You know, but it goes to show you, it's breaking all stereotypes now.
Yes.
Doesn't look like it used to look. Looks like you and me.
Yes. Yes. I mentioned at the beginning, I have friends that suddenly I realized that they had an addiction in gambling through the phone. And and they never were broke before. And then suddenly they're broke all the time. And like,
all the time.
Why are you spending it? You're always at home. And that's when we realized that they have a gambling problem in their phone. And it's like, oh my gosh, it's like, when this happened? And what I know many ways why people trigger themselves to go into kind of these addictions. But you please mention why people tend to go to any kind of addiction.
I think that mostly they lose hope. When you lose hope, I think it's easier to make these kind of decisions that are life-changing. You become desperate for you really just want to feel better. You know, whether that's mentally or physically, anyone can fall into an addiction. You know, you give a priest a case of beer for 30 days. If I go on day 31, he's going to be flipping out, expecting, you know, his body has all gotten used to the substance or the chemical. So, I would say to any parents, you know, it's an issue that needs to be taken very seriously now, because one pill can kill people.
Yes, that is so true.
And we need to get this message out to our young people. We're losing a lot of young people due to, you know, they don't even know that they're taking something that is deadly.
The problem is many times it's the same prescription medications that the
doctors
give for pain or for anxiety.
Anxiety, depression, yes. Many of those things actually have an addictive quality to them.
Yes.
You're absolutely right.
Yes, and the problem is that they continue having the anxiety because they have only tried and treated the doctors with a medication, not actually in therapy. So
we always try to tell people, you know, the answer is not in a bottle of any kind, not a prescription bottle, not a beer bottle, not a, you know, there is no magic bullet. We are all going through a major shift in our lives. We've had just crazy things going on the last 4 or 5 years, right?
Yes.
And some people have used better coping skills than others.
Like I noticed after the 2020 when we were in lockdown,
yep.
I noticed that the majority of the teenagers went into a depression. Yes. And obviously they start getting prescribed medications and they thought the magical pill was going to make them happy again.
Yep.
To start their teenagers, that's one a deep one.
It is a big one because they're not finished growing.
Yes. And then you put them in lockdown. They cannot see friends. They cannot see anyone.
No hugs.
Yes, that throws them more off. Hormonal things also come in there. And the magical pill, it is not going to work if they don't go to therapy. But therapy, let's be honest, at least in the United States, is very expensive. Not everybody can afford it, and not everybody have insurance.
And that's the same thing with addiction, is that only about, it affects about 10% of the population, but only about 2 to 5% of those people ever get help because treatment is expensive.
Yes.
What about for the people who don't have insurance? They can't go.
Exactly.
You can't afford it.
So how we can help them? I imagine that you You accept the insurance, right? In your
We don't. Insurance is for medical, yeah. Right? So just like when you have an outpatient surgery, they don't pay for your rent.
Yes.
We're housing. So insurance does not cover housing, it covers medical.
So how they can pay for your service, the people that
it's self-pay.
So yeah. Hi everyone, this is Monica Ramirez, the Warrior of Love. And if you have been feeling stuck where you are right now, or if you have felt that you cannot connect with others in the same language or the same emotions that you're feeling, if you're a coach, a healer, energy worker, in any of those branches, maybe this is for you. Because we have felt the disconnection for the rest of our family, friends, that we cannot connect to them. And we're so afraid to actually go deep dive when we're getting triggered by our own clients, because we're seeing our mirror image with them. My name is Monica Ramirez, the Warrior of Love, and that's my spiritual name. And I take clients from feeling confused and feeling stuck to feeling free, to feeling that they feel empowered from themselves. I created a system, Path to the Heart, that goes in three levels. And the first level, it is healing the inner child, healing the parts of us that we've been so afraid, or it's very painful to do it. I have done it myself, not only with me, and I have done it with many, many of my clients, that I take them to this process. The second level, it is to go more into inner self, clearing the family lineage, to breaking the contracts and vows, learning deeper, more about the laws of the universe. And the third level, it is learning how to channel, how to do waking up your and getting online your gifts, your unique gifts that the world so much needs right now. So if you wanted to know more about this, I am eager to show you and to teach you all what I know that I use every day in my life. So thank you for being here in this page. I really appreciate it. And this is Monica Ramirez, the Warrior of Love. Okay, what do you think it will be the solution for to help them out if they don't have medical insurance or money to pay for this?
Well, in a town like ours, we actually have 20% of our population is in recovery. So we have a county facility in our town that is free of charge. So there's one facility in each county. There's one in Palm Beach County, one in Broward County, one in Miami-Dade.
Where is it?
Florida.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So we're an hour north of Miami in Florida, and 30 minutes south of West Palm Beach. So we have, like I said, a nice community here that's 20% of the population is in recovery. We can help with job searches, with meetings, with sponsors. It's important to get them really deep diving into why did they make this choice to escape to begin with.
Yes.
Why? You know, what went wrong that you can't handle things and you have to escape?
And let's be honest, something that I tell everybody, like I have not met one human being in this planet that doesn't have a trauma.
Right. Everybody, and we don't talk about that enough.
Yes, and they don't want to, the majority of the people, they don't want to go to a therapist, coach, or psychiatrist, whatever you want to, any of their branch, because they don't want to feel that they're crazy. But it is not about crazy. It is about trauma.
And it's about trauma.
Human being has traumas.
I think that's the most important thing out of anything that we've said here today, is that everybody is suffering with trauma.
Yes.
And the one thing I wish people could take away is that we're all hurting. Don't lash out. You know, don't be quick to go backbiting and gossiping, you know. We don't ever know what's going on underneath someone's clothes.
Yes. Yes, I lived for a while, a year in Los Angeles, California, and I noticed in that time in 2012 that there were 60,000 homeless.
Wow.
In 2012. Right now, wow. I don't know how much is it. And I start observing it, like, okay, what is behind these people? Yes, they may be addictions. Some of them are vets. You know, some of them, they have mental problems, whatever it is. And that's how they ended homeless. And it's easy to say, oh, no, don't help them out. Oh, no, don't observe and feel sorry for them. But in reality, there's something behind in a mental illness, because alcohol and drugs is a mental illness. Any addiction,
it's in the DSM-5 as a that's the diagnostic and statistical manual of mental illnesses. It's in there, addiction and alcoholism, because it is important that people know this is an illness.
Yes.
This is a sickness, and it's easy to judge somebody, but any of us could end up there. It's there, but for the grace of God go I. I do know that my husband and I think differently. You know, it's a lifelong effort. Recovery. It's a lifelong effort. I met him when he was 6 years sober, and now he's almost 24 years sober, a completely different man.
Yes, I can see that. But it is something that I would like to mark to everybody, like, yes, it's a mental illness.
Yes.
That is someone it is struggling with in this moment, or one of their family members, it is struggling, that people tend to hide them. That people tend to hide the problem. And hiding the problem, it is not going to fix the problem.
It won't fix it. We always say secrets keep you sick. That's another good tip, is educate yourself as much as you can about the recovery continuum, not just intervention, but rehab, treatment, then recovery residences or halfway houses, sober homes, and then continuing on with, like you were talking about, therapy, that as a longer term plan.
Yes.
And really addressing this from all angles. It's going to take all of us a village to raise a child, you know? That old saying, it takes a village to raise a child.
Yes. And not only that, also depression can become an addiction.
Yes.
Because there
and you can be addicted to your addicted child.
Yes.
By, oh my gosh, where is he going? What is he doing? Who are you going with? And then they just get overwhelmed and say, forget it.
Yes.
This is more prevalent than I think people realize.
Yes, because there are addictions to everything, every single attitude, that is anything in
excess. But a solution is there. That's the important thing to note, is that there is a solution. And, you know, you can be one of our thousands of success stories. We have people that are getting married now that met at our recovery residence center. We have babies, lodge babies. Now, you know, we're doing Recovery Comes Home in Zoom. So we bring recovery into your home. We make it very personalized and discreet.
And well, it is, how do the people that can get a hold on you, as I know, is Recovery Come Home?
Yeah, recoverycomeshome.com.
Okay. I'm going to put the link underneath on this video. So
Be great. Yeah. You want me to put it in the chat?
Yes, please. So like that I can copy this, or at the end you want when we finish. And I would appreciate a lot that any resources that people can get a hold, because it might be them, it might be a family member, it might be someone that actually... or they know, or a friend. And sometimes we are not everybody's capable to actually to help. And we have to recognize that.
Yeah,
we absolutely cannot help someone, don't judge them, instead of sending somewhere that you can find, that they can find that help.
Yes, and just click on that link. That'll get you our email address and our telephone number. We are happy to help anyone at any time. Just get to the right place to get the help.
Yes.
Whether it's, you know, whether they end up choosing us or not, we're always here to answer questions, to get people to the right resources, really to do what we can, because this is becoming an epidemic.
Yes, it is. It has been for a while.
Yes, it has been for a while. Now they're just talking about it, you know?
Yes, like many of the issues of the world, like finally we're starting to talk about it.
Yes. I know, right? Finally.
Yes, but it's been a issue of the attitudes and things like that. Not necessarily has to be drug addiction or alcoholism.
Oh, no. People are judgmental about all kinds of things.
Yes, and that's why people do not want to talk. I have a problem. I have an issue.
Yeah.
Or I've been in antidepressants for 25 years.
Or they think they're just going to wake up tomorrow, it'll be gone.
Yes.
I'll just go to sleep and tomorrow never comes.
Yes. Or anger is another one.
Anger is another one, yes.
Every single emotion or attitude that you're taking that it is not healthy, search for help.
Yeah, absolutely. Reach out. We can help you. We're happy to help. Please reach out.
Thank you so much, Adrienne. It was really my pleasure to talk to you, and I will be sharing this and I will be sending you an email soon.
That sounds great. I'll share it with my tribe as well. And I'll see you on the Zoom world.
Thank you, everybody, for listening. Thank you for being in Soul Talk. And don't forget to ask us for our program, for our membership, From Path to the Heart. Thank you so much. This is Monica Ramirez, the Warrior of Love.